Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got an awesome show for you guys today. There's really not much going on in the world of sports, so we got you covered with a bunch of different things. We're going to continue our college football and NFL previews. Today on the show, we're looking at the USC Trojans in college football, then we'll finish up the NFC North with the Detroit Lions. We got the year's final major starting tomorrow morning out in Ireland, Northern Ireland at Royal Portrush. Pat Perry, the Tour Junkie, is going to join us here in moments to give his thoughts on the Open Championship. We will give out our card as well, and then we'll wrap the show with our favorite plays of the day. As always, we love to hear from you guys throughout the show. We want to hear any questions that you have, any best bets, anything that's on your mind, any golfers you want to know about, you might be interested in, you want some advice on Pat, let us know. Send them in at BetMGM Network. You can do so on Twitch, on YouTube, on X, and we'll get to your show questions over the next 30 minutes of the show. And if you guys miss any part of Send It In today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Wednesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Pat Perry of the Tour Junkies. Make sure you guys are following the Tour Junkies on X at Tour_Junkies. Pat, like you were saying, man, right before we hopped on air, it's kind of crazy to think that this is the year's final major. We've been previewing just about all these together. Open is one of my favorites, just watching the link-style golf, waking up early. Do you have the alarm set for tomorrow morning, Pat? Are you one of the guys that kind of falls asleep in front of the TV and just wakes up and watch golf?
You know, it's interesting. I'll probably have it set for about 6 a.m., but what'll happen is I'll wake up at like 2 a.m. when they're kind of teeing off, or 3 a.m., you know, so I'll just wake up throughout the night. But right, I'll be in front of the TV for good about 6:30 a.m. So yeah. I can't wait. It's literally one of my favorite majors of the year. I'm from Augusta, so I love the Masters, but this is the next favorite for me. I love it.
I'm with you, man. Masters and the Open, my two favorites. Let's talk about Royal Portrush. They played here back in 2019 when Shane Lowry was the winner. Could be a lot of weather this week, Pat, which obviously could make a big difference. What's the handicap this week when looking at Royal Portrush?
Well, there's a few things, and I'll get to the weather here in just a second. You know, I think when you're looking at the type player that can win here, it's really like any links course. You want the great ball strikers, the guys that can really control their ball in the wind and the weather. You want guys that are good around the greens. They're going to get themselves in all kinds of weird positions around these greens, and the greens are really the story here at Royal Portrush. They got a lot of undulation, so around the greens is very important. And then I think you got to be pretty accurate off the tee. You just don't want to have a big miss off the tee, because then you're really going to be in trouble. And we have boots on the ground, and they're really kind of saying distance isn't going to be quite as much of a factor as the accuracy is. So that's kind of more of what I'm looking for. And then when it comes to the weather, we're actually hearing that it's really just so hard to predict this week, and they've got it wrong actually 2 of the 3 days that they've been practicing there. So it's kind of hard to say, well, is there going to be a weather wave, because the weather's just got it wrong. As a matter of fact, Padraig Harrington told one of our folks over there he doesn't even check the weather apps. So a guy that's, you know, won some majors, has a lot of experience over there, is telling us, I don't really even check the weather. So yeah, if we really get a good read on what the advantage might be, then we could look at it. But right now, it's just really hard to predict over there how the weather is right now.
So for you, Pat, like when you were handicapping this week, because I know a lot of the talk over the last couple days was it feels like guys that are in that morning Thursday wave, afternoon Friday wave could have a little bit of advantage, maybe target people that are teeing off in those time groups. That wasn't a factor for you at all? Like you didn't stay away from anybody who was maybe PM Thursday, AM Friday or anything like that just because of how unpredictable the weather can be?
You know, PJ, I would say that if there's somebody that I'm kind of iffy on, I would probably go more with that weather advantage that you're talking about and maybe just come off of them a little bit. But as far as my favorites that I really like, it's not really a huge factor for me. I'm just not really looking at it quite as much. So I would say, yeah, if you really like a guy, you're really on him, I would not pay as much attention to that weather wave. I wouldn't let it, you know, sway you from making that bet on them, whether it's a placement or an outright. But if you got a guy you're kind of iffy on, I'd probably throw him out.
Love it. Pat, one of the reasons I do love the Open Championship is because it feels like it's maybe the most wide open of all the majors. Mm-hmm. We consistently see guys in their 40s, maybe even their 50s, compete in this event. You just talked about you're looking more so accuracy over distance this week. It's kind of the way a lot of these Opens go, especially if there's weather. So you look at any of the older guys in their 40s, mid-40s, late-40s, anything like that, any of the older guys that made your card this week that you like at Portrush?
Well, I think that when you look at some of the older guys, we have some that have really shown some form. One I just mentioned, Padraig Harrington. He just won the U.S. Senior Open just a few weeks ago back in June, and he's a guy that has a lot of experience on these golf courses. So I think he's one that you could look at, maybe as a top 20 or top 40, not really looking for him to win this golf tournament. So he's one that I would look at who's over 50. I think in the 40s, you know, Sergio Garcia always kind of pops up in these type golf tournaments. He has shown on the Live Golf Tour that he's had a few good finishes this year. I think he could be one you could look at. Phil Mickelson's game's actually gotten a little bit better. He's over 50. He's shown some flashes. So those are a few of just the names that I think that, you know, you could see in the top 40, maybe top 20 for Padraig. Other than that, there's not really any guys that are, you know, I'm thinking are going to actually win this golf tournament that are the old guys. We don't have a Tom Watson in this field. We don't have one, you know, where he almost won when Stuart Sink basically stole it from him. I hated not seeing Tom Watson win that one, but I don't really see a Tom Watson type older guy winning it this week.
Yeah, totally fair. What about some more placement bets, right? Pat, there are some guys that I look at this week, like Tommy Fleetwood, who was in the final group back in 2019 with Shane Lowry. Think he could be in contention again this week. Justin Thomas, as you mentioned, maybe you don't have to use your driver this week. That's music to JT's ears if he doesn't have to use the driver. I think both of those guys, maybe good top 20, top 10 looks. Don't know if I bet them outright. Anybody in the placement market for you?
Yeah, I've got a few here. And as a matter of fact, one of them is definitely Tommy Fleetwood. I saw him at plus 105 on BetMGM earlier. I think that's a great number for a top 20. The thing about Fleetwood, too, is, look, he just seems to not be able to win. But he's always up here in the top 20s, whether it's a major or just a regular PGA Tour event. He finished second here to Shane Lowry back in 2019. So I think Fleetwood is a great placement bet as a top 20. I think Tyrrell Hatton is another one. I saw him at plus 110. You also got guys like Matthew Fitzpatrick. He was really struggling early in this year and really through most of last year, but we've seen a string of top 20s in a row and really good play out of Fitzy. He's at plus 160 right now, so he's another one you get a pretty good number on. Two more I would say in the top 20 would be Russell Henley. Really love Russell, a guy that's not very long off the tee, but he's pretty accurate, great putter, good scrambler. He's plus 175. A long shot for you, Antoine Rosner, the Frenchman. He's plus 800 as a top 20. I actually like him a lot. He's got a lot of top 20s on the PGA Tour this year. And then I think if you're looking at top 40s, there's a few big names you can look at. One is Hideki. I think Hideki Matsuyama as a top 40 even money is a very good number for a guy like Hideki and his caliber. And then two more guys that you might not know, but Harry Hall has been playing some excellent golf. He's a British guy. He's even money. And then Marco Pinge is plus 125. He's another guy that's looking pretty good. I think for a top 40. So in those placement bets, those are really my favorite ones that I like this week.
Love it. A lot of great stuff, as always, from our guy Pat Perry at the Tour Junkies. Make sure you're following the Tour Junkies on X at @Tour_Junkies. We've got a couple more minutes here with Pat. Again, if you guys have any questions, any golfers that you want to talk about, send them in the comments on Twitch, YouTube, at the BetMGM Network. Pat, we got to talk about the big three, right, on the odds board this week. Scotty, Rory, Rom. Of those three guys, if you had to plant your flag with one of them, bet one of those guys to win this week, which of those would you take?
You know, I think I did this for the Masters on this show, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to take Rory. I like what we saw out of Rory last week. He struggled after his Masters win, and it's really to be expected when, you know, he gets that monkey off his back where he's been trying to win the Masters for so long to win the Grand Slam. He does that, sort of comes off of his game. Just really, I think he just got distracted, but now he feels like he's focused again. You know, this golf tournament is in his neck of the woods in Northern Ireland. So I really like Rory between those three. I think he's the one where I would absolutely plant the flag, but don't count out John Rahm. I think John Rahm's got a little something for us this week. So, you know, he's probably like my 1B. You know, I would put Rory as 1A, and Scotty's kind of been struggling a little bit. He seems really frustrated with his game. So I'm a little worried about Scotty this week. I'd rather take Rory at his number.
Yeah, Scotty and Rory were both plus 500, plus 700. Now at BetMGM, Scotty up to plus 550, and Rory is up to plus 750. Pat, give us the card, my friend. You gave us a bunch of placement finishes that you like with a bunch of guys. Who are your outrights that you like for the Open Championship?
Well, we talked about Fleetwood, and I know this is just probably a sucker bet, but I'm going with Fleetwood at 25-1 outright. I like Tyrrell Hatton. I like his number. Sepp Straka, another guy who's just been absolutely fantastic all year long. I've seen some pretty good numbers on him, somewhere around that 50-60-1 range. I mentioned Russell Henley, also is a top 20 bet. I like him to win this golf tournament outright. He is definitely one of my favorites. And then I would say the long shot for me is going to be, I did mention Rosner as a top 40, but I think Tom McKibben, also from Northern Ireland, I've seen him around the 150-1 number. He's another guy to look out for. He went over to LIV last year, so you really haven't probably heard a lot from him, but he had a great finish last week at the LIV event, finished T4. I think Tom McKibben is somebody to look out for as an outright winner at long odds.
Ooh, I like that. All right, a guy to keep an eye on. Pat, before we let you go, we do have a question in the comment. EJP Golf wants to know who your favorite Euro is this week. Is it Rory? Is it Rom? Would you take somebody else down the board? Maybe if you're betting into that market, who would your favorite European be?
You know, I think it's going to be Rom. I think I'm going to go with Rom, even though Rory's the favorite outright. I think if I'm taking a guy that's, you know, not from Northern Ireland, outside of that range, it's going to be Rom for me at 12-1.
Always great having Pat Perry on to break down the major championships. Again, make sure you guys are following the Tour Junkies on X at @Tour_Junkies. Pat, always great catching up with you, man. Enjoy the Open. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Great stuff there. Pat Perry joining us here on Send It In. Let's continue talking the Open Championship. And Pat and I, we are very like-minded with a lot of these golfers at Royal Portrush. As always, on our card, two outrights and 3-4 top 10, top 20 finishes that we have each week. We'll start with the two outrights. I'm with him. John Rahm at 12-1. You know, I was listening to Rahm at the podium this morning, and he talked about how, in his mind, the Open is the major to win. A lot of people, obviously, look at the Masters as the number one event in golf, winning that green jacket. And Rahm's already won one of those, but as a guy who grew up in Spain wanting to win the Open, he holds that claret jug in high regard, and he wants to win an Open badly. He's in great form, had a pretty good showing at Oakmont at the PGA Championship. So Rahm, I think, has got a good price. I think he's got a great shot at winning this week. I'd look at him at 12-1. And then Russell Henley, a guy who's had a really good season, especially early on in the year, won at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. You're getting him at 50-1. I mean, listen to what Pat was telling you, right? It's about accuracy this week, not distance. It's about scrambling. Guys controlling their golf ball. Russell Henley, checking each and every one of those boxes. So we'll take him at 50-1. Also, give me Rahm and Russ in the top 10 as well. I like both of their numbers. Rahm plus 110 to finish in the top 10. Russ is plus 350. And then how about Justin Thomas? Again, a guy I can't get to the window with to win, even though you're getting a nice number at 50-1. But on a golf course where Justin Thomas doesn't have to use driver, he's one of the best golfers in the world. When he can eliminate that club, he's so inaccurate off the tee, can't find a fairway to save his life. And on a links-style course, when you're dealing with fescue and you're dealing with pot bunkers, last thing you need to be is inaccurate off the tee. If JT can just use woods, use his driving irons, he's going to give himself a great opportunity. He still has one of the best short games in the world, especially with his chipping. If his putting is on this week, Justin Thomas could be a factor. He's never fared really all that well in the Open. I think he's only got like one finish inside the top 15. But this could be the week, especially at this course where he doesn't have to use driver. Keep an eye on Justin Thomas. And then in the top 20, you know a guy that not a lot of people are talking about this week is Brooks Koepka. I'm going to take him in the top 20. Obviously, Brooks is a five-time major champion. He's never won the Open before, even though he has spent a little part of his career out on the European Tour. Reason I like Brooks is because he had a nice round and a half at Oakmont before he fell off a little bit on Saturday and Sunday, but it's his caddy, Ricky Elliott. Everybody's talking about how this is a home game for Rory coming back to Northern Ireland. Well, it's also a home game for Ricky Elliott, who grew up right down the road from Royal Portrush as well. Last time these guys played here in 2019, Brooks was picking Ricky's brain for every shot on the course. So having him on the bag is going to be a huge advantage this week. If the game lines up and Brooks is back to being Brooks, I mean, when's the last time you've gotten a 66-1 with Brooks? When's the last time you've gotten a plus 200 for him to finish in the top 20? So I'll take a look at him. And then Adam Scott and Cam Young are going to be the two other guys that I like in the top 20 market as well. Adam Scott's been playing some really good golf, gave himself a chance at the U.S. Open, always has been really good at the Open Championship. Really good links-style type golfer. And then Cam Young has played in three Open Championships. He's finished in the top 10 in two of them. So Cam Young likes this style of golf. Keep an eye out for both of those guys in the top 20 market. I'd also bet Brooks 66-1 and Cam Young at 80-1 along with John Rahm and Russell Henley. Then in some of the other markets that I like this week, look at the top Italian, Matteo Monacero. He's just got to beat out two other guys. There are only three Italians in the field this week. It's Francesco Molinari, who won back at Carnoustie about 6 or 7 years ago, has kind of fallen off the earth. Ever since Tiger won the Masters in 2019 and Frankie went in the water, you've like never heard from him again. He shows up at the Open every year because he's a past champion, but he's not in good form. I don't expect Molinari to make the cut or be anywhere close to it. And then Guido Migliozzi is going to be the other one. I kind of think it's between Monacero and Migliozzi, but did you know that Matteo is number one on the PGA Tour in scrambling? He's got an unbelievable short game. He's fantastic around the greens. That's obviously going to be a big key this week at Royal Portrush. So plus 115, Matteo's just got to beat out three guys. I'm going to take him as my top Italian. How about a three ball tomorrow morning? There's one that caught my eye, and it's going to be one of the marquee groups. Scottie Scheffler against Shane Lowry and Colin Morikawa. Scottie is minus 110 to shoot a better score than both Shane and Colin in tomorrow's round one. Shane's the defending champion. That's why he's obviously in this marquee. He's defending champion at this course, I should say, back in 2019 when the Open was last held here. That's why he's in this group with Scottie. Morikawa, obviously a past Open champion, one of the best golfers in the world. But if you know anything about Colin, he always struggles in any type of wind or any type of precipitation, anything like that. The year that he won the Open Championship was the most benign conditions that you'll ever see for an Open. So I don't take any stock into that. If the wind's picking up, if it's raining like it should be tomorrow, I think Morikawa struggles. Lowry has not been in great form here as of late. Scottie, as we know, is just steady Eddie. Likely going to shoot a 1-under, 2-under tomorrow, getting him in minus 110. I love that look for Scottie. Give me Koepka and Matteo Montero again for first round leader. Montero is 170-1. Koepka is 50-1. I like both of those bets. And then a couple of more first round bets I like for tomorrow. Ludvig over Rory in round one. Rory in 2019, when they played here, quadruple bogeyed the first hole. He felt so much pressure. And how many times do we talk about Ludvig in these majors is so good in the first round? I think that's a nice price. Plus 130, Ludvig against Rory head to head. And then Xander against Morikawa at minus 150. As well. And then a couple of match bets for the entire tournament. Matt Fitzpatrick over Patrick Cantlay. Pat Perry was talking about Matty Fitz. I like him as well. And then Adam Scott over Keegan Bradley. Keegan, I like him on golf courses where you need that high ball flight. No high ball flight at the Open Championship. That's why I don't like Bryson this week either. So give me Adam Scott over Keegan Bradley. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. The Open Championship Odds Boost Token. BetMGM players will receive the Open Championship Odds Boost Token. To use the Odds Boost Token, add a wager made up entirely of the open wagers to your bet slip and activate the token. Score extra winnings if your wager that was made with the Odds Boost Token wins. Brought to you by the Sportsbook born in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, let's talk a little college football here on a Wednesday. And we're talking Lincoln Riley's USC Trojans, already year four for Lincoln Riley in Los Angeles. And, you know, each year Lincoln Riley's record has gotten worse and worse and worse in LA. Obviously, they're in year one with Caleb Williams. He takes over, brings him over from Oklahoma. They go 11-3. Then Caleb Williams comes back. He's favored to win the Heisman Trophy and go back-to-back again in the Heisman. They're favored to go to the playoff, one of the national championship favorites. They go 8-5, one of the worst college defenses you'll ever seen. And then last year, they go 7-6. Their record really could have been a lot better. They could have been like a 9-4, maybe even a 10-3 football team, losing a lot of tough ones. So Lincoln Riley year four, I expect some positive regression for USC this upcoming year. D'Anton Lynn is going to be in his second year as defensive coordinator. I don't think we give him enough credit for just what a great job he did this past season for USC on the defensive side. Again, if you guys remember how bad they were under Alex Grinch 2 years ago, they were bottom 10 in like every defensive metric. They couldn't stop a parked car. They were abysmal. Lynn takes over, complete 360, do some really good things. Now year two under his system. They have 7 defensive starters returning. The offense is 9 returning starters. So I like USC's team. I like what they have bringing back. Jaden Maiava, who took over late in the season, is going to be back for them at quarterback. Lincoln Riley thinks this is the best 1-2 punch at running back he has had since he's been at USC. And you know he also always gets him some good pass catchers and some good receiving options. Their O-line's going to be strong. I like USC. A lot of talk about the top of the Big Ten, and then Indiana, Illinois, Nebraska. You guys know I'm bullish on them. Washington, but keep an eye on USC. Obviously, the difficult part for USC is going to be the road games that they have on their schedule, right? As you look at their road schedule, not an easy schedule for USC. Games away from home. At Illinois is going to be tricky. At Notre Dame, at Oregon, second to last game of the season. At Nebraska is not going to be easy. I mean, that's 4 pretty difficult road games. The home games, though, feel pretty good about USC. Michigan, that's obviously going to be a tough one, but USC is going to be off a bye going into that game. And remember when we were talking to Clayton Safey earlier last week, and he was talking about what were teams 6-26 traveling through multiple time zones. Michigan's going to have to deal with that going out to LA, so that's going to be a tricky game. I think USC probably goes undefeated at home this season. Those 4 difficult road games, I mean, is it crazy to think that they could win 2 of them? Is it crazy to think that they could win 3 of them? 3 is maybe a stretch. I think they can win 2, though, right? USC always plays Oregon tough in Eugene. They just always do. The Notre Dame game is obviously going to be tricky, but as we know, that's a massive rivalry game. We'll see if Lincoln Riley and company have some things up their sleeve there. Illinois, we'll see if they live up to the hype. We talked about Illinois last week, a team that won 10 games. Their win total, though, is at 8.5, and it's over plus 140. So maybe that's a game that Illinois drops, and then going on the road at Nebraska is going to be a tricky one as well. But I like USC's team. They're flying under the radar. The win total is over 7.5 at minus 160. I wouldn't pay that juice. Instead, I'd go big or go home with USC. Give me some plus 450 for the Trojans to make the playoff. That is where I would look at with USC. Because again, if they go 10-2, maybe even 9-3, depending on who they lose to, they're going to be fortunate that they don't have to play in the Big Ten championship game. Maybe they can get that like 10 or 11 seed where Indiana was slotted last season and make the playoff. I like the price for USC at plus 450. Nobody's talking about him. Everybody thinks Lincoln Riley's on the hot seat. But I think his team got some unfortunate bounces last year. I'd look for them to bounce back this upcoming season. All right, let's talk a little Detroit Lions now here on Send It In. Final NFC North team that we are previewing. Again, we've looked at all these teams and we've looked at how hard their schedules are going to be for the upcoming season. The NFC North is going to be the toughest division in football, 1-4. Then on top of that, you're going to have to play the AFC North, the NFC East, and then you got to get the NFC West team, obviously, as well. Somebody out of the NFC South. And then they have to get an AFC West crossover. I told you guys I thought the Bears had the hardest road schedule in all of football. I mean, you could make the case that maybe the Lions have the hardest road schedule in all of football, right? At Green Bay, at Chicago, at Minnesota, as we know, at the Ravens, at the Bengals, at the Chiefs, Commanders, Eagles, at the Rams as well. I mean, like, all those teams can make the playoffs. It's insane how tough the Lions' road schedule is this season. So much was made about last year, how the Lions only played 3 games outdoors. Well, they get 6 games outdoors this year. And all offseason, we've been talking about how the Lions have lost both coordinators, right? Ben Johnson, their OC, and Aaron Glenn, their defensive coordinator. What we're not talking about, though, is the other coaches that they've lost. Because when Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn take those jobs, they're also bringing those secondary coaches with them as well. The Lions lost 8 coaches this offseason. For a team that's had it real good the last 2-3 seasons, right? A team that's had all this continuity, the same voices in their locker room. We're going to find out just how good of a coach Dan Campbell is this upcoming season. And this is what great teams have to deal with. When you're a really good team that's had success for multiple years, other teams want to poach your coaches and they want to poach your players. And usually the one great denominator in that is an elite quarterback, right? I mean, we've seen Kansas City, we've seen their coaching staff, their offensive coordinators a little bit have some turnover. Obviously, Spags been there on defense. The Ravens have had a number of coaches that have left them. The Bills have had some coaches that have gone in and out. But when you have a Lamar Jackson, a Patrick Holmes, a Josh Allen, that's a great equalizer. It doesn't matter really who your coach is. You're going to find a way to make the playoffs. When Jared Goff is your quarterback, is he enough to overcome all that? I think most of us would agree the reason the Lions' offense was so great was because of the play calling of Ben Johnson. Now, Gibbs is one of the top backs in the league. Amon-Ra is one of the top receivers. Jameson Williams is one of the fastest players. Laporta is a really good tight end. They have a great O-line. They have great players, but Ben Johnson put them in so many good situations. So now you got to replace him. And also, you guys, they got to replace the center, Frank Ragnow, who retired about 3 weeks ago. That is a massive, massive loss, especially for a pocket quarterback like Jared Goff, who's really not mobile, who can't scramble around and make plays. He likes that clean pocket up the middle. Now you're missing your center, the guy who's obviously communicating to his entire O-line, who's keeping the pocket clean in front of Jared Goff. It's going to be tough for Jared Goff and the Lions for the upcoming season. So the value I see on Detroit for the upcoming year, actually, is for them to miss the playoffs at plus 185. Again, because of how insane that schedule is, because of how hard their division is, because of all the coaches that they lost, because they have 6 road games, because Jared Goff lost his center, I think there's a chance that the Lions really regress this season. You know, a lot of years in the NFL, we see teams go from worst to first, teams that were last in their division and then win their division their next year, or teams that won their division and then come in last in their division. Wouldn't be shocked if the Lions come in last in the NFC North. I really wouldn't. So I would look under 10.5 wins for the Lions. I think this is like a 9-win football team this season, maybe a 10-win football team, but I'll take the under. And then I would take them to miss the playoffs as well at plus 185. The Lions are a great team still to have in fantasy football because of all the playmakers that they have. I just don't know if that's going to translate to wins. So give me under win total for the Lions and give me them to miss the playoffs as well. All right, you guys, let's wrap the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. Again, no going streaking for today. No baseball. We're off until Friday, so we'll skip that. Our prop lock of the day, my favorite prop bet of the Open Championship, is going to be John Rahm to finish in the top 10 at plus 110. I like John Rahm a lot this week. I think that with the way that he's playing, how this course matches up, he's going to be in contention. So give me Rahm at plus 110 to finish in the top 10. Dog of the day is going to be USC to make the playoff at plus 450. I love this value with USC. 16 returning starters for the Trojans. A home schedule where I could see them winning all their home games. The road schedule is going to be difficult. If they can go 2-2, though, in those four difficult road games, USC's got a chance to go 10-2. Maybe 9-3 is good enough to make the playoff, but I think plus 450 worth the bet on USC to make the playoff. And then my best bet, as I was just talking about, is going to be the Lions to miss the playoffs at plus 185. I think you're getting good value there on Detroit at plus 185 to miss the playoffs. We got some more questions. Let's see. EJP Golf, fish and chips or American barbecue with coleslaw? I would rather go American barbecue personally, EJP Golf. I like the barbecue, even though I do love me some fish and chips. And then first-time caller 708, got any make miscuts bets for the Open, PJ? As of now, I don't. I liked what Pat, though, was saying about Sergio Garcia. Off the top, I don't know what his make-miss number is to make or miss the cut. But if you're getting a plus money with Garcia to make the cut at the Open, that was the first guy immediately. As he was talking about it, I thought about that market. What's Garcia's price to make the cut for the Open Championship? So that would probably be the thing that I would look at, would be Sergio Garcia. Some of those other guys, you know, on the border, Padraig Harrington might be another good play to make the cut. Again, that's the beauty of the Open. A lot of these older guys tend to play pretty well at these Scottish Links-style golf courses. Experience tends to play a big factor. So Sergio, Padraig, maybe a couple guys to keep an eye on. John Rahm, though, is going to be my prop lock, top 10, plus 110. USC to make the playoff, plus 450 is my dog of the day. Lions to miss the playoffs, plus 185 is going to be my best bet. Thanks again to Pat Perry for joining us today. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Love the interaction and the questions. Enjoy round one of the Open. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.